Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hello, chefs. I'm Cher McAnally, head of entertainment at Tumblr and person who makes a pretty good ratatouille.
Nice. I'm Lauren Chippin, a person who can't even handle the stress of a fictional kitchen.
And this is Dashboard Diaries, a podcast for you, the folks who are in this internet bunker with us. We talk about what's going on our favorite hell site, get into what we like to call Tumblr, do fandom deep dives, and share the times when we've gone feral over a new ship. So Lauren, how has your last week on Tumblr been?
It's been good. It's been busy. I feel like we're experiencing a thing on Tumblr right now that we experienced back in the fall, like early winter, late last year, which is that a social media platform is having a meltdown and Tumblr is, you know, Lady Liberty, bring us your weary masses, right?
We're like, shh, it's okay.
You're home now. So for those of you listening who might not know, Reddit has made some decisions lately that are incredibly unpopular with their users. They are making their API, which is basically the thing that third-party apps can be built on, they're charging for it now. And so all of these third-party apps that a lot of people rely on, including moderators of these huge, huge subreddits, are basically shutting down because they can't pay the $3 million a day that it would cost to like upkeep this app. And so as a result, Reddit is going through a series of like really funny protests, some of which we'll reblog to dashboarddiaries.tumblr.com. But then also a lot of people have just been coming from Reddit into Tumblr. And I'm curious, Cher, have you like gotten the same kind of impression in terms of like all of a sudden there's just a swarm of users getting used to using Tumblr?
Yes, definitely. In the time that I've had to use Tumblr in the past week and like since this API integration was announced, which I believe they did a blackout on, was it the 12th and the 13th, I want to say?
Something like that.
A lot of subreddits, you know, kind of like went offline for 48 hours in protest. And since then, yeah, we've seen a huge uptick in signups and new users and people reactivating their accounts. And similar to what we saw with the Twitter migration, or as we like to say, Twexit.
I've heard that before. I like Twexit. That's good. Oh, yeah.
We have also seen an influx of existing users and really established users creating these like kind of welcome guides or like Tumblr how-tos or kind of here's the, you know, rules of the road guidelines. I feel like there's another better word that I am not finding at the moment, but I do love how welcoming the Tumblr community is. And people are very much like, hello, come join us. Here's how we do things. You know, here's, you know, the do's and the don'ts and the, you know, fandoms. Yeah. How about you? What have you been seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with all of those posts of kind of acclimating people to the Tumblr ecosystem. And one of the favorite posts that I saw that was not quite that was a post of someone basically saying, like, you know, Reddit and Tumblr have sort of been these opposing forces in a lot of ways because the way that people interact with fandom on both of those sites is incredibly different. And this is sort of the equivalent of like someone's mortal enemy showing up in their doorstep all like bloody and battered and being like, you're the only person I could come to.
Yeah.
And of course, Tumblr is going to Tumblr. And so somebody made fan art of personifications of Reddit and Tumblr.
Oh my gosh.
In this like sort of ship scenario. We reblogged it to dashboarddiaries.tumblr.com. So go check that out. It's amazing. But also, one thing that's been really fun, we talked ages and ages ago in our Tumblr user guide in one of our first episodes about reblogs and likes and how there was this constant discourse around people encouraging reblogs. And because of the way that Reddit functions, everyone's sort of been talking about how people are reblogging and actually like leaving comments way more than usual because that's how Reddit like knows to behave. And I think that that's really, I think that's really interesting. It's sort of, I have felt like the way that my dashboard is appearing like shift a little bit in a really fun way. Mm.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. That's such a great point. And I'm an active Reddit user as well as a Tumblr user. I feel like I love the way that I engage on Reddit is completely different from the way that I engage on Tumblr. And I feel like they really complement each other in the way that, like, you know, you can dive into a specific Reddit community and kind of everyone's like encapsulated in this one community. Whereas I feel like Tumblr's a little more like, it's a little more kind of fluid between all of the fandoms and everything going on.
Yeah.
And also I really like how, you know, on Reddit, you can, for example, say, okay, I've only seen episodes 1 through 5 of season 2 of The Bear, for example. And so I clicked into Tumblr. I went on Tumblr because I was like, I want to see what Tumblr people are saying. Immediately was like, spoiler everywhere. So I feel like on Tumblr, it's like, okay, you finished it. You're not going to get spoiled. Here's where you dive in and like fully go all in. Whereas on Reddit, it's very much like, okay, I want to look about like what people are talking about, like this one moment in this specific episode or whatever it is. So yeah. I love kind of the way that the two engage. And I do think Redditors will enjoy it on Tumblr, just like Tumblrs often enjoy it on Reddit.
Exactly. Yeah. I do want to read... That's so true. And I do want to read one post that, you know, a bunch of people have been reblogging over the past couple of weeks. It already has 50,000 notes and it was just posted on June 12th, which is wild. But I think perfectly encapsulates this difference between, because I use Reddit too, and I behave differently on Reddit. And so this is from user The Smegalodon, which is a great name, saying, going from the Reddit Star Wars fandom to the Tumblr Star Wars fandom is giving me insane whiplash. The upside is that people aren't bitching about every single imperfect detail in the entire franchise, but the downside is that I've seen more fan art of Obi-Wan and Commander Cody tenderly knowing each other than I ever wanted to in my life in the last 3 hours, and it has probably fundamentally altered the way I interact with the entire franchise. And then they eventually reblogged their own post and was like, I'm kind of into it.
Tumblr strikes again. Love to see
strikes it. Strikes again.
The Tumblr strikes back. Oh, that was bad.
How about you, Cher? How has your last week on Tumblr been?
It was good. I spent the last week at VidCon, which was the first VidCon I've ever attended. And I have never seen so many like lights and sounds and things all in one space. It was very overstimulating and like the best possible way, but also the kind of way where every day we all went into our hotel rooms for an hour and we're like ceiling time. And it was where we went into our hotel rooms and stared at the ceiling. And then relatable. We're like, okay, we can re-enter this space now. But yeah, VidCon was a ton of fun. We sponsored the gift bags for the featured creators and gave them all a copy action figure, which, you know, I was very excited about. I also got one. I have like a box of things I've been meaning to send you, Lauren, including and copies in there. So,
oh my God, I can't wait.
Stay tuned. But yeah, I honestly barely had time to even look at my phone. So I feel like I was kind of like living in a dashboard. Like, especially. Yeah.
I feel like VidCon is sort of a Tumblr adjacent convention. You know, it's no DashCon, but I feel like there's a lot of crossover in terms of the people who go to VidCon and the people who spend time on Tumblr.
Definitely. Yeah. I went to the Watcher panel nice. With Ryan, Shane, and Steven. And that was incredible. And they actually showed a VidCon exclusive, like deleted scene from the new season of Ghost Files. And a great blooper reel. And I'm also just really invested now in Ryan and Shane's beef. I don't know if you follow Watcher, but Ryan and Shane are currently frenemies. And it's really fun to watch. So I feel like I was like, I was like, the Tumblr post that will be created from this conversation, I feel them like emanating, you know? So great last week, like, I felt we do a series called Tumblr IRL, generally for musicians, where it's a concert series. And the goal is to create a space that feels like you're stepping into the Tumblr of this musician. And I felt like I was just in the Tumblr dashboard, or in like a very specific part of the Tumblr dashboard. And yeah, it was great. I had a lot of fun. And I'm also excited to be back at home and, you know, a little more zen.
With your real Tumblr dash.
Yes, with my real Tumblr dash. Yeah. Speaking of our dashboards, how about we dive into our archives for dashboard confessionals?
Let's do it.
So what do you have for us this week, Lauren?
So I have a post from Rug Bubblegum from 2014, and I reblogged it in end of June 2015.
Excellent handle.
Yeah, great handle. It's very satisfying to say, Rug Bubblegum. Just like got
rug
nice.
Bubblegum. Yeah. Bubblegum. I like it.
And it is a collage of Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer with, you know, some hearts and some different graphics around. It's like one of those things that you would, or at least I would, print out, you know, photos of all the characters that I loved and make a little collage and post it in my locker, right? Like, this is absolutely something that I would have put up in my locker or on, like, the inside of a notebook. I did that, too, for school notebooks. And I just, I picked this because 2015 was a time when I was rewatching Buffy, I think, and it was sort of the first time that I feel like I really, like, understood Spike all of a sudden. I really came into the Buffy fandom via Angel, and so I was, like, a big Angel person by the time I got to Buffy. And I just want to take a moment to acknowledge Spike and everything that Spike did for us. He is, like, a proto poor little meow meow. He is such a sad, scrungly man. And, you know, for the kids out there listening, know your history. Watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. See the wonder that is Spike. And yeah, understand what it really means to be a poor little meow meow.
Essential viewing.
Essential viewing. What about you, Cher? What do you have from your archives?
So I have a fantastic little post that I reblogged in 2018 from Carrot Discs.
Ooh,
and it is a photo of a courtroom where everyone's heads are crows and it says caw and order, and out of all their mouths it says caw. So, you know, just on brand. Yeah.
Extremely good. Extremely good. I would trust a crow lawyer. Crows are very smart.
They,
you know,
they really are. I follow a comedian, Sydney Battle. I don't know if you follow her at all, but she has, like, been training the murder of her crow of the murder of crows by her house to, like, bring her things, and she, like, like, often updates on, like, Twitter and Instagram and things about, like, oh, my crows have gathered today, or like things. And I'm really enjoying it, and I think she does, like, have a little, like, crow posse now, which, who wouldn't want that?
We're doing that. So me and my partner are currently in the process of not a murder, but we have a pair of crows that we have been slowly befriending for the past 6 weeks, probably. They're still a little bit, like, cautious, but we have a, like, a roof deck, and so we've been leaving, like, a peanut. Oh, I actually need to feed them today. We've been leaving, like, a peanut on the wall of the roof deck for them, and they come and get it every morning, and then they, you know, fly off, and sometimes they'll come up on the roof when we're up there and sort of, like, look from the light pole that's near our roof. So, yes, Gussie and Tuppy are their names, and
oh my gosh.
They're named after P.G. Wodehouse characters. And they did leave a tiny little bone once, and so I do think that was, like, a symbol of trust, or perhaps a warning, unclear. But they haven't left anything else yet, so it's a long courtship, but it's really fun, honestly.
I cannot wait to hear updates on this journey. That is so funny. Also, please send a photo of Gussie and Tuppy if you can.
Or I will.
Post on the Dashboard Diaries Tumblr. Have got to see that. We need some fan art.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Fantastic. So with that, let's head on into our main conversation or topic today, which is one of my favorite shows, largely because of Thirst, but not entirely. The Bear.
The Bear. It's back.
The Bear. It's back. We've been waiting.
And what did we, what did you decide the fandom was going to be called? The Bear Subs? Was that it?
Oh my God. What?
Never forget.
Oh my God. What was that? Was it?
I think it was the bear subs.
Like, yeah. The bear subs. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a sandwich, right?
Something like a sandwich. The bear sub, like the sandwich, because they make sandwiches.
And that's the only meaning.
The only why that the bear fandom are the bear subs.
The bear subs.
Bear subs. Where are I am definitely a big old bear sub. Would you consider yourself a bear sub, Lauren? How many times can we say this in one episode?
I guess I would consider myself a bear sub, yes. Because it really is one of like my favorite shows of the last year. Yeah. And watching season two just really reinforced that. So, Cher, I know that you were at VidCon. How much of the bear have you seen?
I have watched 5 episodes today. So, yes.
Oh, so the next one is the hour long that you've got.
Oh, really? Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Very exciting. I already have so many opinions about season two. First off, cinematography, beautiful.
Yeah, love hit me with show. All the opinions.
Just so nice to watch. Second off, really enjoying the way that each episode is focusing on a different character.
Yeah.
I don't think season one did that. And I'm like that I can recall.
No.
And I'm really enjoying that for season two, kind of giving us that like time with all the characters. Also, Cardney shippers, rise up.
We have to talk about this, right? Because like when I've watched all of the second season, and when I dove into the tag, obviously, yeah, there are like some amazing gift sets and because mm-hmm. it is such a beautiful show to watch, there was some excitement around some of the guest stars that appeared in this season because this yes. season was like just had so many amazing guest stars. But I would say that it's Tumblr, right? And so like the biggest portion of content I was seeing was about shipping. And I think that this is such an interesting show because, the sort of leads are Sydney and Carmi, and they're, you know, they've got a really unique relationship. And for the creators of the show, and Jeremy Allen White and Ayo Edebiri, the actors who play those characters, both of them are like, yeah, we just don't see it. Like, we never intended it to be a romantic thing. Like, we don't see them that way. And as far as I can tell, most of the bear subs on Tumblr are, like, rabid for this ship. So, where do you fall on this ship? Are you a, what is it, Cardney?
Cardney is what I've been calling their ship. I'm conflicted because first off, I like that they are, like, business partners. And I know that a relationship would obviously impact that business partnership. And, you know, I was so excited to see how much Sydney thrived last season. So I really want her to be, you know, like an equal partner of Carmi's. But, you know, why can't they have it all? I think they should be able to have it all. And I am just, yeah. And look, I see the appeal of Claire Bear, and that's what I've been calling the other ship. But, you know, their childhood's friends, blah, blah, blah. You know, it seemed that they kind of had a thing, but not a thing growing up. But I can't get behind it. I've been team Carmi and Sydney since season one. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah,
what are your thoughts?
So it did start in season one for you, like the Carmi
sure.
shipping. Okay. Mm-hmm. Was there a particular moment where you were like, oh, okay, I want these two people to kiss?
Oh, I think that the short answer is I do not have a specific moment because it was just in the water. But honestly, it was just, yeah, the vibes. I like knew coming into season two that I was hoping for some more with that. How about you? Do you have kind of a specific thing that sparked that?
So I don't know actually that I can necessarily qualify myself as a Cardney shipper.
Oh, okay.
I'm not opposed to it. I'm
I made
certainly
an assumption.
Not opposed to
excuse
it.
Me.
And like, I really like, I like the thing that they have going on, and I really mm-hmm. like that. Like, one of my favorite bands from the early 2010s is a band called The Civil Wars, and which, you know, they did a song with Taylor Swift for the Hunger Games, so they're not like a small band, but they only released 2 albums because they sort of broke up mysteriously after making 2 albums that were like quite piney and sexy, but they were both married to other people, and like presumably nothing ever happened between them. And it's sort of like Fleetwood Mac thing too, right? Or like Daisy Jones and the Six, like all that kind of like creative partnership that blurs the lines between romantic and you're not sure if anything ever happens. I love that stuff because I think that creative marriages are so unique. Like, there was even a scene in, you haven't gotten to it yet, and this isn't really a spoiler, but there was a scene between Sydney and Carmi in season 2 where I was like, I literally just want you to go to marriage counseling. Like, not even for, like, a romantic reason. Like, I just want you to go to marriage counseling. Because it is, like, it's that intense of a relationship, right?
Yeah, it really, oh my gosh, the whole, like, I'm sorry in sign language.
Oh my God.
They've introduced this season, like, okay, I like that.
Yeah, so, like, I totally see it. I would certainly not be mad if they kissed, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I necessarily ship Carmi with anybody. Like, with his first interaction with Claire, they eventually sort of, like, sold me on that ship in terms of, like, him mm-hmm. being in it. But his first interaction with Claire this season, I was like, girl, you're barking up the wrong tree. This man does not experience physical attraction. Like, I just sort of, I think I've been reading Carmi as, like, sort of on the, like, asexual spectrum. He's, like, he's just so into the thing that he does.
Yeah,
and I think
that,
like, I don't know necessarily that after this season I still feel that way. But, like, for me, I do love the rapport that Sydney and Marcus have. Like, I could be very into that ship.
I could as well.
The real one for me is going to sound nuts, and I haven't really seen anybody else talking about it, is Sydney and Richie. Like, I'm just, like, all in on that.
Interesting. Okay, talk me through this.
I mean, I don't know. Once a character stabs another character, I'm just sort of down.
Oh, my God.
But it's... I really do, like, love an enemies to lovers trope. Like, it's one of mm-hmm. my favorites. And there's something about, like, I do think that those two actors have great chemistry. And there's something about, like, the way that they just, like, absolutely are so gnarly and mean to each other in the first season.
Yeah.
And then in season two, like, there's this, like, very weird, like, stalemate. And I can't really say more about it without talking about, like, the last episode. Like,
yeah.
But I don't... But even in the first season, I was sort of like, I kind of want these people to make out. I don't know.
It's I can see that, honestly, because they're both really fiery.
Yeah.
Like, their tempers. But I also, you know, think she is badass, and I love that she stands up for herself. So maybe that's not a temper. Maybe that's just her standing up for herself, you know?
And I think there's something, like, it's almost like the, like, knight princess thing going on for me for some, like, in some way.
Okay.
I think with Sydney and Carmi, it's like they're so well, like, I would not be mad if that shit became canon, because they're so well matched, right? Like, they are equals, and they respect each other and admire each other and make each other better and challenge each other. And it's like, that's exactly what you want in, like, an actual relationship. But, like, I don't watch TV and I don't ship for, like, what would be good in real life, right? I'm here for, like, what's going to be most interesting. And I think with Richie and Sydney, like, there is this sort of, like, begrudging respect that Richie gets for Sydney by the end of season one that, like, then goes interesting places in season two, in a sense that it's, like, in my head, Sydney is, like, really coming into her own, and she's incredibly confident, and, like, Richie's just, like, pining after her and just, like, thinks that she's amazing and is sort of, like, the devotional knight, right, who's, like, oh, I'll just do anything you say. And that's just, like, that really works for me.
Yeah. I can see that.
So, Sydney, Richie, Ridney?
Ridney? No. Ridney, believe it or not.
If you, Sydney, Richie shippers are out there, please at me, thelaurenshipanddeadtumble.com. I want to talk about it.
Oh my gosh, I love it. What else have you been enjoying about this season compared to last season? What are your thoughts on them going fancy?
Yeah, I mean, I really have loved the focus on individual characters. And, like, I was reading mm-hmm. a little bit about behind the scenes. You've already gotten to the Marcus focus episode, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Lionel Boyce, I think his name is, the actor who plays Marcus, he's, like, a good mm-hmm. friend of Christopher Storer, the guy who created the bear. And apparently even before the first season, he actually, like, sent, if I'm remembering this correctly, he, like, sent Lionel to Copenhagen to learn about, like, pastries and stuff. And so it's that was sort of, like, I love how all the actors have actually, like, gone through pretty extensive chef training.
Yeah.
And I think that when I was talking to my partner about the second season, the thing that I kept comparing it to was Fleabag.
Mm.
And how the first season of Fleabag is sort of, you've seen all of Fleabag, right? Yeah, we've talked about it before. The first season of Fleabag is, like, this, watching this woman just be so self-destructive and just, like, be the worst version of herself,
mm-hmm.
sort of on purpose. And then the second season, you see her consistently striving to be better, but still kind of making the same mistakes in the sense that she still falls in love with an unattainable thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, hot priest.
Oh, hot priest. Rip. Yeah. And I think, like, I think the first season of The Bear is, like, it's just chaos. It's just watching mm-hmm. this restaurant, this group of people just devolve into chaos. And then season two is, like, them intentionally making steps to be better and mm-hmm. faltering. And there was something about that, like, it's like a realistic optimism to me, I think, is the best way I can describe the season two of both Bear and Fleabag.
Yeah.
In that, like, that the Bear still really stresses me the fuck out. But also, like, there were lots of times in this season where I was sort of expecting the worst thing to happen, and then it didn't. Mm. And, like, they actually, like, did okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah. Where is your head at in terms of, like, the arc of the season as you've seen it so far now that you're halfway through?
I'm really enjoying it. I like that. Yeah. As you said, I feel like last season was a lot about kind of like getting down to like rock bottom in a way. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now, or being at rock bottom, I think it kind of starts at rock bottom, yeah, at least with Carmi. And the second season, very much like they are literally tearing down and rebuilding. And I feel like they're definitely like adding that, like, not only are they tearing down and rebuilding their restaurant, but they're tearing down and rebuilding themselves.
Yeah, totally.
But you can definitely see the parallels. And I do look, I love a little self-improvement. I love renovations of all kinds. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying this season. And also just, it's so beautiful to watch. I really yeah. love like the directional choices and like the cinematography. Even like a few coming to mind are the scene where Carmi and Claire meet and the way that they kind of like are in this aisle, but they're really focusing on just their faces and the way that it's lit. It's just, yeah, it's a really beautiful show to watch. The Sydney's episode with the food, I was watching it and I was like, I am so hungry. I want
so good
every single one of these. And it was, yeah, really, I love like, yeah, I like how every episode feels so unique, but it like they are really cohesive. It doesn't feel anthology or anything, but the episodes I feel like directionally vary, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, it makes sense to me that they release the whole season at once too, because it's like mm-hmm. I think it does work as sort of a marathon watch because I think week to week, yeah, it might be a little bit frustrating to sort of like not always be mm-hmm. in the main story, right? And to sort of be yeah. hyper-focused on one particular person. But I think as a whole, it functions so beautifully. And I think the other thing too, that like, you know, with second seasons, there's always a little bit of like, ooh, are they going to do it? Are they going to, you know, yeah. capture that magic again? Especially with something like The Bear that like was just a show that was released and then became this like cultural juggernaut overnight. Mm-hmm. And I think they did it. I think they pulled yeah. it off. I think they improved on what they were doing and they didn't stray too far. And yeah, I really enjoyed the season and I'm so excited for you to get to the rest of it because, yeah, you got some stuff Ooh. Coming.
Well, I will be finishing it probably tonight if I'm being honest.
Excellent.
So yes, stay tuned for texts. Yeah, I really love this show a lot. I'm really glad. I'm glad it's back. I think the cast is incredible. I've so like, loved and followed Ao Edebiri for a while, and she is just crushing it. So excited to see her crushing it. Yeah, great show all around. And I can't believe there's an hour episode in this season. That makes me really happy. Yeah.
Oh, and it's a nail biter. Let me say.
Oh, it's a doozy. Got it.
Buckle in.
With that, Beyond the Bear, which I think has us both really deeply mm-hmm, in our mm-hmm. feels. What has you in your feels this week, Lauren?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it does sort of feel a little bit like my head is just like full of the bear. I think the other thing I've been in my feels on is perhaps like a little bit like self-focused, but I am very, very close to finishing the first draft of a novel that I have been working on for what feels like a million years.
Oh my gosh.
And I, you know, it's been a long road to get to this particular draft. I've done like several drafts half finished before I sort of figured out the structure and the POV and everything. And so this has been sort of the first like true attempt and something that's really kept me like going and been really encouraging is sharing snippets of it with one of my good friends who I talked to about my writing and sort of getting her feedback and stuff on that. And this is related because she's a friend that I met on Tumblr.
and like through a niche fandom. And, you know, we eventually became super close friends and exchanged real info. And now like we're constantly talking about writing and stories and our own original stories and the fandoms that we love. And so, yeah, once again, I'm just like very grateful to Tumblr for giving me, you know, a community that helps me in my actual life. It's very nice.
Oh, I love that. Also, I can't wait to read your novel.
I hope I am able to actually finish it. We'll see.
Oh, you absolutely will.
How about you, Cher? What's got you in your feels this week?
So I have been really in my feels about this series Silo. I don't know if you've been watching it.
I've seen the first 4 episodes, I think.
So I am very into it. I love anything dystopian. If you're not familiar, listeners, Silo is a dystopian Apple TV series based on a trilogy. A trilogy of books by author Hugh Howey, who is on Tumblr, hughhowey.tumblr.com.
Oh my gosh, really? That's amazing.
And the plot of it is essentially like the world has died and people live underground in this silo that goes 2 feet below the ground, 2 miles below ground. There's 10,000 people living in the silo. And it kind of, you know, it's a few hundred years past this and the initial like death of the earth. And we don't know what's it like outside. And, you know, chaos ensues, perhaps we shall see, but I've been really enjoying the series. And I have no self-control and can't now just wait to know what happens. So obviously got the book.
Nice.
And spent my entire flight from LA to New York last night reading the book. So I'm about halfway
Amazing.
Through now. And I have now like gotten past the show, which is very exciting for me.
That is
But I'm
awesome.
Really enjoying it. Yeah. So the first book is called Wool. It's a really quick, like easy read too. And I'm all in it. It's just so exciting to like get into a new series and know you have so much ahead of you.
Yeah.
So I'm in my feels about the Silo series and also just about reading at the moment. I feel like I'm in, you know, I go through phases where either I am constantly reading or like watching a lot of TV. I like, it's very much generally one or the other. And I think I'm about to enter a reading era because I'm also going to read the Wheel of Time.
Oh, nice.
After this, which is extensive.
Yes.
So yeah. Excited about all that. And we're doing an Answer Time this week with Hugh Howey.
Oh, amazing.
It'll actually be going live on the 30th. So it'll be live today.
Amazing.
Or the day that the episode goes up. On Hugh's Tumblr. So
do you have
check that out.
Any questions that like you're particularly looking forward to asking him?
Ooh, I want to ask him who built the silo. I'm not sure if that's answered in a later book, but that's also such a spoilery question I'm realizing for an Answer Time.
Yeah.
That is, but I will say reading the book, so many questions that you have in episodes 1 through 3 are answered in chapters like 1 through 3 of the book, like immediately they're answered.
Fascinating.
And so I was like, it's really interesting to me that the show held off on so many details that immediately, like in no uncertain terms are said in, you know, a couple sentences in the book.
That's so interesting.
So that's really interesting. So I think I may actually, the question I'm interested to ask him is, you know, can you talk me through the differences, you know, between, because there's quite a few differences between the show and the book and the decisions to really kind of like slow down this narrative and keep, you know, keep from the viewers what book readers kind of find out right away. Because I think that's a really interesting choice.
Yeah.
And the book is, it's in the first person. So, it's not in the first person, it's in the second person. So you like know what everyone's kind of thinking. No, wait,
third person.
Now I am third person, but you know what, third person omniscient. That's what it is. Thank you,
gotcha.
Mr. Gavin from senior year AP English. Got there eventually. It's third person omniscient. So you know what, like, and it like, it's, it goes just like the show does, kind of goes like through the perspective of multiple characters in the book. And like each section is like, or like chapters from the POV of a different character. And so obviously in the show, they can't really like show that internal monologue that really kind of, but I feel like there's a lot of things that they could have shown that would have, you know, really quickly answered things that they keep from you in the show. So I'm interested. That's a big question of mine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that has, I'm all about Silo at the moment. And I have a new, there's the finale is this Friday. So the finale will also be coming out the day that our episode premieres.
Gotta catch up.
Big week on Tumblr, folks.
Oh yeah.
Well, that concludes episode 24, which also puts us, Lauren, at 1 year
since
Dashboard Diaries premiered. cannot believe it. Time has flown. It's been a fun year hanging out with you.
It sure has.
And we are going to be taking a month off to really rest and reflect. And we will be returning for episode 25 on August 4th. So
I'll be here before we know
it. Miss you. Yeah. Think of us. And if you have any topics that you would really like us to cover or things you'd like us to talk about, questions, send them our way. And we are really excited to be back with you for episode 25 in about a month.
Hell yes. And be sure to be following us at dashboarddiaries.tumblr.com and at our individual Tumblrs. And we will see you on the dashboard.
Yes, indeed. And what is our email address again, Lauren?
dashboarddiariespod@gmail.com.
Fantastic. And with that, I'm Cher McAnally, and you can find me at overshares.tumblr.com.
And I'm Lauren Shippen, and you can find me at thelaurenshippen.tumblr.com.
This has been Dashboard Diaries, and
may your anons always be loving,
your dash always refresh,
your gifts always be loading,
and your ships always canon.
May the fix you're reading always be finished,
and the answers you seek always in the reblog.
Thanks for scrolling with us,
and see you in August.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.